Okay, there's a Q&A now. Whenever I have Q&A, I make three announcements here. I won't make that announcement tomorrow because maybe you'll be here, inshallah. So, but for today, first announcement, I know you're like cricket brothers. Don't ask questions, you know, and you bowl one googly and try to bowl me out, you know. I wrote many examinations in my life, so that's not right. I'm your guest. You must ask easy questions, not difficult ones. Number two, brothers, my name is AK Hussein. It's not AK-47, you know. So every town, they have their own politics, you know. This person don't like, that person he don't like. Ask the question, make me AK-47, I shoot that person on your behalf. Not permissible. You can't do that. And third one, brothers, tomorrow, are we going? Then Friday we're going to Bolton, and then Saturday Scotland and so forth, Sunday back South Africa, inshallah. So brothers, don't ask such a controversial question. You will settle the problem. I'll be gone. So just let us just take these 3 points, inshallah. Then we can have a constructive and productive session, inshallah. Jazakallah khair.
Respected Hazrat Mufti sir, the first question is, can you vote in Islam? Can you vote in Islam
or not? Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Voting in Islam has several aspects and dimensions to it. I vote for a person and it is, I am interceding on his behalf. So I need to be honest to myself that this person, in my opinion, is the person who is the best job is the best person for that job there. It is not because he's my pal or he's my family member, so therefore I'm voting for him. You got married in this masjid or any other masjid, your wife did not come here, your wife's representative came here. So when you send Mr. ABC to parliament or to your boroughs, so you are making wakala, tawkeel, you are sending a representative. So you need to be very honest about that who is the person you are sending. It is shahada, you are bearing testimony. And if you vote for an incompetent person, so it is false testimony. False testimony is a major, major sin. Even if the person is a non-Muslim, but he is a person who is the best person, it's fine. Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah mentioned one golden sentence. He said, if you have a Muslim ruler, and the Muslim ruler is a zalim, is a oppressor, Allah's help would not come to him. And you have a non-Muslim ruler, and the non-Muslim ruler is adil and just, Allah's help would come to him. So we need to understand what is adalat in Islam. Maliki yawmi deen. Deen means justice itself.
Respected Mufti sir, is Tabligh Jamaat bid'at or not?
Any person who uses the word bid'ah, you need to understand what bid'ah means. Bid'ah means three things. Number one is that in the golden era of Islam, during Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's time, during Sahaba's time, Tabi'in's time, that an action did not take place. So that's one thing. Second one is that something that is not compulsory, people make compulsory. Third one, it must be something to do with deen. Today we're all driving cars and we go in the planes and all that. So these are all worldly things. So this is permissible, got nothing to do with deen as such. So we need to understand what bid'ah means. So if you say it's bid'ah, then we will say Nabi alayhi salatu salam, Quran says, Ya ayyuha rasulu balligh ma unzila ilayka min rabbik. You Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, make tabligh of what was revealed to you from Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla. Bukhari Sharif hadith, balligh anni walau aya. That convey on my behalf, even if it be one line, one verse. So therefore, for any person to say that is incorrect. What we need to do is three things. Number one is, any group, any people who are doing good work, we need to join them. If we cannot join them, then at least make dua for them. If you can't do that, then at least don't cause any harm to them. So that is what Islam teaches us.
Respected Mufti sir, if a marriage takes place in a registry office, is the marriage complete? Is it necessary to have a nikah after registry?
I do not know what your system is here, but I assume, if I'm wrong, you should tell me, that if you go to the home affairs or to the registry here, so the person would be there, Mr. ABC, and the husband and the wife would be there, and the witnesses are not there, or if the witnesses are there, they might be non-Muslim witnesses, then nikah would be null and void. La nikaha illa bi waliyin, la nikaha illa bi shuhudin. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, nikah is not valid without witnesses there. So, and nikah is not valid without the consent of the wali, according to the vast majority of scholars, Imam Shafi, Imam Malik, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, rahimahullah, the Hanafi scholars allow it sometimes, not always. So there is big discussion on that issue there. So therefore we would not say that a nikah like that is valid in normal circumstances. You should have a proper nikah performed. A'linun nikah, the ijaluhu fil masajid, mentioned in Tirmidhi Sharif, the masjid, the best place for the nikah is the masjid. You should announce it there. So these are all things. That's why we find our divorce rate is so spiraling out of control. We go and do all these things there. So I don't know what's your system, but if there are non-Muslim witnesses, then nikah is null and void. If you mean imam for men, the woman is the imam and the men are behind, the men would not be praying P-R-A-Y, they would be praying P-R-E-Y. Which man will make khushu? You all know this Amina Wadud saga and all these things. So they asked me this question. I said, leave all the discussion. I just added one thing. See the beauty of Islam. Hypothetically, for argument's sake, we say Islam allowed the lady to become imam. For argument's sake, hypothetically. So we have an imam. What's the name? Imam, Imama, Amina Wadud. Example, because she likes all this, so we make an example. So, 20 days she'll be imam, and after 3 weeks she's missing. Why? Because from first serve to last serve, everybody will know that now the green robot is off and some other thing is on. Is this what you want in Islam? What are you doing? You make a mockery of it. And you use Islam in this? So we must understand, brothers, that for a lady to become imam, layu, Bukhari's hadith, layu fliha qawmun wallaw amrahum imra. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is a rawi, the reporter. A nation will not prosper who hands over their matters to a lady. So in Islam is not acceptable.
Respected Mufti sir, a male had a sex change. He was a Christian, then he accepted Islam and did nikah with a male Muslim. What is the ruling on this nikah?
He was originally?
Male.
And then, that's it. And then got married to a Muslim.
He became Muslim.
But became female before he became Muslim. In a case like that, is the person was a non-Muslim and then he went for the sex operation and now they made him into a female or whatever and now he married a Muslim male. This is a question, right? Remember, nikah like this is not permissible in Islam. That in Islam we say al-aslu fi kulli shayin, it goes back to the asal. That kullu shayin yarju ila asli. So it goes back to the asal. So that person there, Islamically, will be considered a female, although he underwent an operation and whatever else. So in Islam, we would not consider that person to be a female if he was a male originally. Or it was a female originally and then become a male, so we go back to the original. But some ulama, they say that you can't look at it like this because this person was a non-Muslim and whatever. So in a case like that, the best thing for you would be that you write down all the details and send the fatwa to the various ulama in different parts of the world and see what fatwa they give. Most probably you'll get different fatwa, but ihtiyat and precaution is a nikah like that should not be valid in Islam because it means in one way or the other we are encouraging people to go for these things here. And Quran says, وَلَا تَتَمَنَّوْ مَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بِهِ بَعْضَكُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ. That the men and the women should not have the desire that tomorrow one male decides, I want to fall pregnant, so now he takes certain tablets, or he wants to grow breast and start giving milk and whatever else. So we don't want all these things here. Don't, but shaitan, when Allah expelled him, you want qasam he took. وَلَآمُرَنَّهُمْ فَلَيُغَيِّرُنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ. Allah, I am going to command them, they will change the creation of Allah. And that's exactly what all this is about. So we need to put a stop to all these things here. And therefore we say a nikah like this. But there will be some different opinion by other ulama. But according to us, we will say nikah like this and that's not acceptable.
Respected Mufti sir, why does one have to do taqleed of the four imams?
What is the meaning of taqleed? Taqleed does not mean we follow Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah. We follow Imam Shafi rahimahullah, or Imam Malik rahimahullah, or Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah. Doesn't mean that. We follow what Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla told us. We follow what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told us. is understood by these great jurists and scholars. Big difference, brothers. We follow them according to what they understood. We don't follow them because it is Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah or Imam Shafi rahimahullah. So we need to understand that. Yesterday I gave 1 hour talk on it. Yesterday, no more. I spoke on the leader. There is a lengthy topic. You can get the tape. Maulana and I got it there. I think that in one of the masjids there. You know, I'm not aware of all these masjids. So anyway, I spoke 1 hour on this topic. I just give you 2-3 easy points to remember. Quran says, let's just give one example from Quran, one from Hadith and so forth. Quran says, وَدَاوُودَ وَسُلَيْمَانَ إِذْ يَحْكُمَانِ فِي الْحَرْفِ. It's Quran. The ulama are present, you can ask them. It's one issue. Nabi Dawood alayhi salatu salam passes a verdict, and Nabi Sulaiman passes a verdict. The verdicts are different. And two great Anbiya alayhi salatu salam pass two different verdicts. Today one issue happens, people go to this Mawlana, that Mawlana, this Mufti sahab, that Mufti sahab. Say these Muftis also all upside down. Isn't we start saying like this? And this thing there. And I say, no, but the grand Mufti said like that. So they say the grand Mufti, the amount of grain you pay him, he becomes a grand Mufti. So people, they make all funny comments today. But take this incident in the Quran. وَدَاوُودَ وَسُلَيْمَانِ إِذْ يَحْكُمَانِ فِي الْحَرْثِ إِذْ نَفَشَتْ فِيهِ غَنَمُ الْقَوْمِ. So what happened, the incident was, a person had his sheep and goat and whatever, but the shepherd or the owner, he was neglectful night time like now. So it went into somebody's farm and plantation and wreaked havoc there. And caused so much damage there that it finished that person's harvest and crops and everything. Next day they came to the court and chamber of Nabi Dawood alayhi salatu salam. He is the big Nabi, the big ruler, the big judge. Ya Dawood, inna ja'alnaka khalifatan fil ardi fahkum bainan nasi bil haq. You must pass the verdict. So he came. Nabi Dawood alayhi salatu salam heard the case of the plaintiff, he heard the case of the defendant. He said that you defendant, all your sheep you have to give as compensation to that person there because your sheep caused all that damage. Do we understand the verdict Nabi Dawood alayhi salam gave? All your sheep you must give as compensation to the person there because your sheep caused all this damage. When they came to Nabi Dawood, they came to Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salatu salam. Do you know what Sulaiman alayhi salam's age was at this time? 11 years old. When he rebuilt Masjid al-Aqsa, Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salatu salam, when he rebuilt it, he made 3 du'as. Rabbi habli mulka la yambaghi li ahadin min ba'di. Oh Allah, that give me such a kingdom that you don't give any person after me. Allah gave him. Almighty, he made dua, uwati u hukmi hukmak. Oh Allah, when I pass a verdict, it must concur and agree with your judgment. Today you go school here, what they teach you? When you encounter a problem, you need the wisdom of Solomon to unravel this knot. You think some Englishman brought this. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us, Nabi Sulaiman made this dua, alayhi salatu wa sallam. And third dua he made, man ata hadhal bayt la yuridu illa salata fi. Raja'aka yawmin waladatu ummu. Who comes to this masjid here, Masjid al-Aqsa, he is so pure and purged and cleansed like the day his biological mother gave birth to him. The hadith in Ibn Khuzaymah, the hadith in Ibn Hibban, in Tabarani, many hadith kitabs of it. So Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam said, his father was there, Nabi Dawood alayhi salam, the plaintiff was there, the defendant was there. He said, I have another opinion on this issue. So they asked, what is your opinion? So he said that it is not, the farm is there. The farm is there. No harm came to the farm. So the corpus is there. The harm came to the harvest. The harm and damage came to the crops. So he told his father and the plaintiff and defendant that why not you take the goats, you take the sheep, and you keep it. That is the plaintiff, the person whose farm it is, you keep it, but not as an owner. You keep it for that duration till your crops grow up to the same place and position it was prior to it causing damage. And in the interim period, the milk of the animal, the fur or the sheep, the skin of the animal, or the hide of the animal, the wool of it, all that you use. So that is all your manafi, all your benefit for you. But you don't become the owner of it. You understood the two different verdicts? See what Allah says. وَكُنَّا لِحُكْمِهِمْ شَاهِدِينَ. We are witnesses to their verdict. Allah said, وَكُلًّا آتَيْنَا حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا. We gave both of them knowledge, we gave both of them the power of verdict. But which one is rajih? Which one is preferred? فَفَهَّمْنَاهَا سُلَيْمَان. Sulaiman alayhi salam's verdict is better. Now today when you say, what's this? Allah is one, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is one, Qibla is one, Quran is one, Imam Hanifa rahimahullah said this, Imam Shafi rahimahullah said this. So use the Quran. I want to ask you, who say we don't need taqleed, who say I'll go straight to Quran, whose verdict is right here? I want to ask you. Will you say Dawud alayhi salam's verdict is wrong? I'm asking, what will you say? Is wrong? You will say it is correct. And you will say Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam's verdict is preferred. Correct and preferred. So bring that to the fuqaha and the great jurors of Islam. That they said, you do this, you do this, you do this. So it's jaiz, jaiz, one is preferred. So the Hanafi scholars say the Hanafi school is preferred. The Shafi scholars say the Shafi is preferred. The Maliki scholars say the Maliki is preferred. So where does the problem lie? The problem lies with our brains, not with the fuqaha. Sayyidina Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salatu salam is Bukhari's hadith. Qissatu sagheera. You mothers and sisters, I hope you're not sleeping there. Listen to this incident. Qissatu sagheera wal kabira. The story of the junior lady and the senior lady. A child, there was an argument. The younger woman said, the child belongs to me. The baby belongs to me. The elderly lady said, belong to me. They went to the court of Nabi Dawud alayhi salatu salam. He asked the questions, everything. He passed the verdict in favor of the senior lady, the Kabira. When they were walking out, they passed Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salatu salam, and he found out everything. So he said, if you came to me initially, I should not pass this verdict. Say, what is your verdict, Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam? Say, bring one big knife. Put the baby here. I'll chop the baby up into half. You take half, you take half. Then that younger one screamed. Said, no, 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 give it to the big lady, to the elder. Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam said, the baby belongs to this young one. How you know Sulaiman alayhi salam? He said, only a biological mother will scream like how this lady was screaming. Who you will say is right? Understand what is Quran and Sunnah. Fuqaha, don't take out things from their pocket, brothers. You need to understand. But anyway, it's a lengthy topic, you can buy the cassette. I think they're selling it there. I don't make anything of it, don't worry.
This person has a booty side. Can you make masah on cotton or nylon socks?
Brothers, as far as the vast majority of scholars, whether it's Maliki, Shafi, Hanafi, Hanbali, they say you can't make on this. These socks here that we wear, these socks here, they say you can't. It must be the leather socks or something that is very, very thick. So it not necessarily must be leather. So it can be something very thick and you can, you know, the water cannot seep through it, or you can walk with it for 2-3 miles and so forth. So then only, but this we don't agree. There are some ulama nowadays, especially in the Arab world, they say it is permissible. We hold them in high esteem, but we cannot agree with them on this issue here. So we have ruled many a time on this. We said, no, it is not permissible. And more so, it has to do with salat and all that. So therefore, it's very serious.
One scholar mentioned that a lady can take off her scarf because of dangerous hostile energy towards Muslims.
This issue also came to us, and we said that in Islam, Quran is for all times and all places. Surah 33, verse 59, Almighty Allah has made it clear, Ya ayyuhan Nabi, qul li azwajik wa banatik wa nisa'i al-mu'minin, yudnina alayhinna min jalabibihin. If you're going to say our women must take off their scarf, they must take off their jilbab or their abaya or whatever, tomorrow something else happens, what will we say? They have to walk in miniskirts? Where will you stop? So remember in Islam, remember this golden sentence. Amirul Mu'mineen Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when they conquered, I've been there 5 times with Allah's help, alhamdulillah, to Palestine. When Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu conquered Palestine, he didn't conquer it, but he was brought, called there to give him the key. It was in his time. So he delivered the khutbah. And in that khutbah, I just give you one sentence. He said, نَحْنُ قَوْمٌ عَزَّنَ اللَّهُ بِالْإِسْلَامِ وَمَهْمَا نَتْلُبُ غَيْرَهُ لَأَذَلَّنَا اللَّهُ. We are a people and a nation. Allah gave us honor and izzat because of Islam. You go and seek anything else, Allah will give us disgrace and humiliation. So with due respect to the Shaykh, I mean, we can never ever agree with him, and we will say he has made a mistake in this fatwa of his.
Is there any specific dua for depression?
I see people, they look at the weather in England and they get very depressed, you know. And this is, yeah, I look at your weather, I look for the blue, I don't see it. I think of sunny South Africa, you know. And so brothers, I think you've got a lot of depression problems. Quran, wonderful, you find answers. Nabi Yunus alayhi salatu salam, fil dhulumat, was in many darknesses, the darkness of the ocean, the darkness of the night, the darkness of the belly of the fish. Almighty Allah taught him, and he read, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. What Allah said? Wa najjaynahu min al-gham. We delivered and rescued him from the sadness, the depression, the anxiety. It's for him alone? No. وَكَذَٰلِكَ نُنْجِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah has given this to the believers also. So read, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin, abundantly, inshallah.
Speaker, what does taqdeer mean? If Allah has written for me to be a non-Muslim or a sinner, then it is not my choice. Why will I get punished if Allah has written it for me?
Three answers. Someone came to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, he was standing. Sayyidina Ali was a genius. Wa aqdahum Ali. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said the biggest judge was Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. So the person was standing. He asked him, Ya Ali, explain taqdeer to me. He said, lift up your leg. So he lifted up. So he lift up your other leg. So how can I lift up both? He said, that's taqdeer. Allah gave you a choice to a certain point. And after that, there's no choice. How come a person only speaks of taqdeer when he wants to do wrong? When they do right, then they don't speak of taqdeer. If he wins a certain competition, this jais, will he speak of taqdeer? You speak of taqdeer when it's all wrong things in this thing. So for a second. Almighty Allah says, O taqula law anna Allah hadani la kuntu min al-muttaqin. The non-Muslim will tell Almighty Allah day of Qiyamah, oh Allah, it's your fault. Oh, taqul, you will say, Law anna Allah hadani. Oh Allah, if you gave me hidayat, lakuntu min al-muttaqin, I should have taqwa, I should be a believer. You didn't give me. So Allah will say, Zalim, falamma zaghu, azagha Allahu qulubahum. You yourself, Allah gave you the path of Rahman and path of Shaitan. You said, I want to go path of Shaitan. So when you decided, then Allah made that path easy for you. فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْأُسْرَى. For the kafir, for the non-Muslim, put alcohol, wine, swine. For him it's so easy, he'll say, bring another gallon also. And for the believer, you give him 1,000 rand also, he'll say, or the pounds also, he'll say, take it, haram, I don't want. So it is our choice. You cannot blame Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla for that. So therefore we should not fool ourselves. Every person has been given a fair choice by Almighty Allah.
What if there is a Islamic Muslim who has ruling on IVF treatment?
Brothers, if a couple are married for 5-10 years or so, and the natural way they cannot get children, the wife cannot conceive, then if they go for the IVF and this, so it would be considered as permissible as a last resort with two conditions. Condition number one is the semen, the sperm of the husband must be used. If anybody else's is used, it is akin to zina. So we need to understand the seriousness of the situation. Second thing is, it must be the last resort. So not that, you know, there are other ways, so then they just do it. No, it must be the last resort, and the sperm semen of the husband must be used, so then it is permissible.
Can a male wear jeans?
Male. Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us in the Quran, Ya Bani Adam khudhu zinatakum inda kulli masjid, that when you come to the masjid, you must come with your zina, with your beauty. I ask you a question. I know when I graduated in university, so they send you a note and they tell you, you're not allowed to come with jeans and you're not allowed to come with techies. You call it techies here? trainers. You're not allowed to come with techies and train with jeans and trainers. I don't know if they do it here, maybe. So we don't say it's haram or something, but we definitely say it is undesirable, and more so salat time, when it is not considered as a respectful dress. If you have a meeting with the prime minister or president or even your bank manager, will you walk in really like that? Be honest. Yeah, we're standing in front of Allah Azza wa Jalla. It is dialogue with Allah. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Allah answers, Hamidani Abdi. My slave has praised me. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Then he says, Athna Alayya Abdi. So wherever then, Ihdina Siratul Mustaqim in front. Allah says, Wali Abdi Ma Sa'al. That for my slave is what he has asked. It is a dialogue between slave and Almighty Allah. So the clothes we wear must be respectful, as Quran says. Ya bani Adam khudhu zinatakum inda kulli masjid. Go with your respectful clothes, your beautiful clothes, when you go for salat. So yes, we need. Yes, you are going now somewhere to paint your house or something. Then we don't say you must go to kurta, obviously. You wear your jeans and mess your jeans. It's fine. Understand?
Is Tarawih salat 8 or 20 rakat?
Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us in the Quran, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ, that those who possess Iman, they are madly, intensely in love with Almighty Allah. Why do we fast? A manifestation of our love for Allah. Oh Allah, first 20 days, I am not eating, I am not drinking, I am not fulfilling my lust and passion to show and display my love for you. Last 10 days, a progression in love. Oh Allah, my beautiful wife, my beautiful flowers and children, I'm prepared to leave them and I come to your house, oh Allah. Etikaf. When the crescent is sighted, Eid al-Fitr takes place. Al-Hajju Ashurum Ma'lumat. Hajj starts. Oh Allah, I'm prepared to leave my country, I'm prepared to leave my family, my friends, all. Now I'm wearing ihram. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik, I'm coming to you. So the whole Ramadan, whether it's fasting, whether it's Taraweeh, is a manifestation and pouring out of our love. Man sama Ramadana imanan wahtisaba. Whoever kept fast during Ramadan, with iman inside, wahtisaba, and with love outside. Man qama Ramadana imanan wahtisaba. Who stood at night, how? With iman inside and love outside. Be honest, how will your love be more? 20 rakats or 8 rakats? You need to ask yourself. These people who say 8 rakats, you must ask them two questions. What hadith they use? They will tell you the hadith of our mother Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha. Our mother Sayyida Aisha says, La tas'al an husnihinna wa tulihinna. Don't speak about the beauty in which Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed it and how long Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed it. Go open Muwatta Imam Malik, is written there. There is a stick here, the asa. If that, he say the sahaba say, kunna na'tamidu alal asi. We used to lean on our sticks in our salat. We used to lean on our sticks because we feared we'll fall down in salat. So if you want to use 8 rakats, so what selective coating is this? You take in the quantity and you're dropping out the quality. You understand the point I'm making? So that is exactly why we say you have to make taqleed. Because you're going to start picking and choosing, you will start following your desires. Once we follow our desires, أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَٰهَهُ هَوَىٰ. Have you seen that person who followed his desires? He made his God his desires. وَأَضَلَّهُ اللَّهُ وَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ. And Allah led him astray on his knowledge. So we need to understand this very, very seriously. So brothers, we should not look for loopholes. So from time of Sahaba, greatest time, Sayyidina Umar's time, till more than 14th century, 20 rakats is read. Now we want to make all shortcuts of it. Nabi alayhi salatu salam wore the topi and turban. He never ever removed it basically, only at time of Hajj and Umrah and so forth. So there's no question about it, 100% it's a sunnah. Therefore all the fuqaha are unanimous on this. I'm not speaking of Hajj and Umrah. But besides that, when you're not in ihram, to read without a topi, salat will be done. But it is makruh and undesirable to do so, definitely.
Is human cloning permissible or not?
When we allow human cloning, we'll have many clowns running around. You must remember that. And what will happen is, we won't know who our fathers and mothers are. In Islam, we must remember, to protect the lineage of human beings is farz, is compulsory. Therefore, in Islam, we have iddat for a woman. You know, when a person divorces his wife, then Quran says, Thalatha taquru. So all this, there's many reasons. One reason is this, so that she might be pregnant, so we give her that. She's pregnant, then we deliver the child. But she might now fall pregnant in that period there, but she did not know. So all these are laws that Islam brought about to preserve the lineage of human beings. So we are not animals, so we must never ever allow these things there. The problem with today, most scientists and so forth and professors in this field, they want to act and play God, you know. So that is a problem.
Inspector, can a lady put on English clothes for her husband only?
If you mean by English clothes, she put on smart clothes for her husband and she dresses, you know. That is now, it depends what you mean by English clothes. That, let me just give you 2-3 examples. If a person, male or female, wear clothing that is a symbol of another religion, a symbol. So remember, I come here in a masjid and I wear the archbishop's jubba. You understand? Or I look at the Pope. Somebody asked me after the Pope died, what will happen to him? So I said, no hope for the Pope. Understand? So this thing, yeah. So if it's a symbol of any faith or religion, you can't wear, male or female. But if it's not a symbol and husband wife, I mean, there's nothing. No, husband wife, there's no hijab, there's no parda there or something.
I come to the last and final question. Respected Hazrat Mufti Sahib, some people say that when you stand in Salah, you're free to join the feet of the next person.
You see, brothers, as I told you just now, if you want to study Sharia, you want to study Deen, you can't go to one verse in the Quran and just pass verdict. Now you go to one hadith. The problem with these people is, they just go into the hadith in Bukhari Sharif, and they found bil-qadam, bil-qadam, or bil-ka'bain, bil-ka'bain, and they stand like this, far, far apart like this. You know? And this. The big alim in Mecca, who they follow, Sheikh Salih bin Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, I was present there. He said, "Fahmun khati'un bil hadith." He's telling them in the haram, you must not stand like this, it is you don't understand the meaning of the hadith. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is speaking about, you must stand straight in salat. So, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used the word tarasu. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used the word about manakib, about shoulders. He used the word rukbatain. Why do you don't stand knee to knee? So, all that also is mentioned. Then it's spoken about foot to foot, all that is spoken about. So remember that these are people who are using selective quoting. And they'll open Bukhari Sharif, see. And now the masses and public, they get hoodwinked. They say, yeah. You don't take one hadith and then apply your understanding to that. I show you how shallow this understanding is. They stand like this, like a goalkeeper waiting for a penalty, you know. So the other day also I said it in London. When you look, then you'll think it's like a goalkeeper is waiting for. I play soccer also when I was small, so I know. So what happens is, now you go in ruku. You must look at them when they go in ruku. You will see it's an unnatural way of standing. So ruku time, they bring their legs in. Sajda time, they won't go like this. So sajda time, because your standing is already unnatural. And what Quran says? وَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ قَانِتِينَ. Stand with respect in front of Allah. Why are you standing like this 1 minute, then 2 minutes like this and all these things? So stand like us properly, then right through the salat. You don't have to play with your feet this way and this way. You see? Sallu kamara aitumuni usalli nabi.